I kind of stopped short. I talked about the recipe, what I could see sitting here, Jeff and Marcia and everybody that's concerned with the music. What I saw was this kind of these little different ingredients, kind of still not mixed together yet, and kind of like a promise from God, wait till I get them mixed. Wait till I get them mixed. See what kind of cake I got for you. You know?
She didn't mean anything by the ingredients not looking good, right?
Oh, no. No, I said when they start blending, sometimes the thing that starts going together really looks raunchy for a while. And praise the Lord, we're too smart to look at those little intermediate things. We have long-term goals. See, I have determined not to see anything in you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That's long-term. And that's an oath. All right. We've got a few minutes, not very many, since I know we've got a date. If you'll turn to Revelation chapter 21 again. We stopped at verse 8. Verse 8.
11.
You probably did, but I'm going to go back. You're probably right. But let's go back to verse 8, or verse 7 even. 6. Alrighty. Now listen, if you remember the promise, the vision that John was having, and I keep wanting to pound into you, don't forget that when God speaks, He doesn't speak in the future. There's no tense to God's words, ever. In our lives, there can be some applications to the future and to the past and to the present, but God does not know tense. Never in His language. The original language that was written was there a tense. Now there was a vision. Let me show you the city of God, which is the bride of Christ. That's us. There is no great big city. I'm not going to say that. There's no use in you and I looking for a great big city that's up in the sky. That will do us no good now. If it's up there, praise God. If it's got streets of gold, praise God. I don't care about that. I care about now. That's what I'm worried about. See, because that's what you and I ought to worry about. The streets of gold that God's talking about are those pure people that He can allow other people to walk on. That's called grace, by the way. Forgiveness and understanding. Just because you don't do me right don't mean nothing. Because that's probably my judgment anyway. You're probably doing right as rain. I just determined it to be wrong. Pure gold. The streets are made of pure gold. It's the pure gold is the people of God that are leading others to God. That's the pure gold that we're seeing. The city came down. Now listen. Revelation 21:6. He said to me, it is done. He didn't say it's going to be done. He didn't say one of these days when you die you'll see that it's done. He said it's done. It's finished. Just in case you forget, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. And I'm everything in between. The beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life in heaven. That's what the church wants to put on the end of every sentence in Revelation. In heaven. And it is not the way you read Revelation. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and this is what I saw. And blessed are those that read Revelation. Not going to be blessed, but you are blessed right now. So let's just keep talking about right now. He that overcometh shall inherit. I wrote in there, shall inherit is one word. We added the shall. He that overcometh, inherit. Inherit is something that I can do now. Anybody that knows anything about finances knows that I can give you an inheritance right now. And you don't have to die to receive an inheritance. I can give that to you anytime I want. If you think I can, what do you think God can do? So, he that overcome, now, inherit. And I am his God, and he is my son. That's too simple. Too simple. The Lord made a way. Right? Jesus made the way. Verse 8. Here is the warning of how to eliminate the inheritance. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Your Bible says shall have, and that is not even in there. It was added for clarification. The original language didn't even put shall have. All liars, they're part of the lake of fire. Now, did you hear the way I said that? Right now, they're part of the lake of fire. They're already, listen, if you know sinners, you know they're already suffering. That's how Jesus could move with compassion. That's why we're to move with that same compassion. People that are not living for God and doing it His way are suffering right now. They're having hell on earth right now. Let's move with some compassion, and let's make sure that we don't take part in that lake of fire. Don't be an idolater, a liar. They burn within themselves. This is the second death. It's going to be the second death also. Revelation does refer to the future, by the way. And remember I explained it to you last week. The second death for a Christian is when they give their life to God. The second death for a sinner is when they literally burn in the lake of fire. You wouldn't burn your flesh up then. It'll happen now. That's what hell is. Since you wouldn't do your job, there's another force that's going to do it. The trouble is we can do it now and it only hurts a little bit, right? Kind of like a little bit every day. It don't feel good to burn your flesh up. Never does. Never feels good to tell your flesh, shut up. I'm going to do it this way. I'm not going to do it your way. Never feels good. But it feels a lot better than the lake of fire. So it will be done. One way or the other, flesh will be burned up. Now I'm going to one more time read the translation from the definitions from all of those words. Fearful, unbelieving, abominable, all of those. These are the ones that will share in the lake of fire and sulfur. The timid. The faithless. Those could not be trusted to do what they promised. Those that let anything interfere with their relationship with God. Those that sold themselves, their time, their gifts, for money or fame. And that includes preachers and teachers. Those that depended on, and musicians. Don't want to leave them out. How many of you watched the Dove Awards this week? It's pretty neat. You can tell by the testimony what they're doing there, what they're using their talent for. Even though they're in a Christian meeting, you can tell by their testimony. Had some great testimonies there. Those that sold themselves, their times, their gifts for money or fame. Those that depended on drugs or incantations or meditations instead of God. Are those that convinced others to do the same. That seemed to be one of the most dangerous positions in the study, is those that convinced others to do the same. Those that worshipped other gods are convinced others to do the same. Those that sought mammon. And let me tell you something, that is not my translation. That's exactly what the dictionary said. Those that sought mammon. It doesn't say more than God. It just says those that sought mammon. It was really blunt. So if the reason you get up in the morning is money, be very cautious. You don't have quite enough flesh burned up. Please allow God to get the work on you. Just invite Him in. Let Him do it. Listen, we're not going to talk about people that go to hell. We're going to talk about people that overcome. So to overcome, all you do, so if you find, somebody asked me that. That's the reason I'm saying that. Somebody asked me last week, what if I see some of these things in my life? So what? Tell God. Say, I don't like this part of my life. And guess what? In His eyes, He sees you better than I do. In His eyes, He sees it already done. You may not see it done, but He does. And all He does is gives you the desires and the motivations of your heart so that it's corrected. But you already have the inheritance before the correction. That's the cool part about God. He don't go around beating you up with a stick until you get to be perfect. He sees you perfect and tells you how to get there. So He's got the blueprints in His head. He knows how to get there. Got the measurements, the exact way to get you there. All you got to do is follow it. Praise God. Those that spoke untruths are convinced others to do the same for personal gain. Truth being the Word. Lies being anything contrary to the Word. Let me describe the second death. Those that serve God will give their lives to God, to me. That is the second death. Those that are selfish, as described above, they will suffer eternal hell. That is their second death. Flesh is destroyed in both cases. A lot of definitions there. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. Last means extreme. It does not mean the last as we see it. It means the extreme plagues. And talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show, means see. I will show is one word, it means see the bride, the Lamb's wife. It doesn't say one day you will see. It says, I want you to see right now the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. High means an exalted place. Do you understand that? A lofty. In place or character. That's the definition. He took me up to a high and lofty place. In can be place, but it also means character. Dignity is another word. High, dignified place. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Not going to descend out of heaven from God. When he took him up to the place where God wants you and I to be, that's what I'm saying, a place in the Spirit. When he opened his eyes, he saw this movement, this connection, this tremendous thing between God and his people. He saw it. It was alive. It was well right then. Right then it was on. His city means the people that that wall themselves in with the Word of God. With obedience. He said, come hither, see the bride, the Lamb's wife. Here, look, the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Right now. Do you understand that when the world was created, from the throne of God were rivers of life. And you'll see it in the very next chapter. In chapter 22, we'll go over that. Again in Revelation. Isn't it amazing? In Genesis, from the throne of God, rivers of life to feed His people. Right from the throne of God. In Revelation, from the throne of God, rivers of life to feed His people. Right here in verse 21. In chapter 21, verse 10. Descending out of heaven from God. My translation. He carried me away in spirit to a great and mighty surrounded people. These were great in character and dignity. These were God's holy people. They were dwelling right now, already, in good health, good and health and prosperity and power and authority and peace and joy, all flowing from God. Now, by the way, that'll be in heaven also. That's not going to stop. We're getting a preview now, right? We get all of this now, but it's going to be a lot better then. Verse 11, having the glory of God, remember what I told you the word having meant? Echo. That's exactly the word. E-C or E-K-H-O, pronounced E-C-H-O, echo. Echoing the glory of God. Now, how many of you have heard an echo? It's a duplication, right? A little distance between in time, but a duplication. This is calling you a duplication of the glory of God. The city of God had the duplication, or the echo, or of the glory of God. Glory, doxa, means brightness and splendor, preeminence and excellence and dignity and grace and judgment. All the things belonging to God. That's what you have. You echo those things. I'm telling you, if you don't get boosted by studying Revelation, I don't know if there's any way to boost you. Man. Having the glory of God and her light is a 999 word. It's not in there. It was added for glory. Her light like a stone most precious. Even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Anybody ever looked at crystal? Crystal is only clear when it's pure. There's no dirty in it. If it's dirty, it's not clear. These people of God echoed or had the reflection of the glory of God. Here's what it was. These were splendor, brightness, magnificence, excellence, preeminence, grace, dignity, majesty, perfection, glorious condition. They were like precious jewels, very valuable, very pure, very bright. God is showing John the true church now. The true church now and then. That's what, and by the way, that was a long time ago. And it didn't pass away. It's still the truth today. Because it still says, bless those. Those are blessed that study Revelation. That's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Now this city we're talking about had a great wall, a wall great and high. Had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I don't understand everything about the number 12. I really don't. You can look it up and you can get all kinds of information, and when you're all through, you're going to still say it's 10 and 2. That's the definition of 12, 10 and 2. But it means something to God. He had Jesus pick 12 disciples. And I've got a load of scripture here that uses the word 12. I don't even remember when we were talking about the 12 tribes. If you'll do the math doesn't even add up. But it doesn't make any difference. If the Word of God is true. If we want to use the number 12, all right, use it. It doesn't mean a thing. The number of gates doesn't mean anything to us, does it? Now, is it going to change your theology if there's 13? How about if there's 11? You understand what I'm saying? There are gates here. And there are tribes that were called way back there. And we're all from one of those tribes. And there they were. There's the 12 tribes. I'm not going to go into all those scriptures. That takes too long. Verse 13. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. In the west, 3 gates. Now the word 3 is important. Okay. We know there's 4 sides. And there's 3 gates on each side. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Now, if you guys get revelation on this, feel free to let me know. But what it is established on is the teachings to the apostles. That's what this is all going to get around to. The 12 angels, the 12 disciples, it's all based on the teaching of God. And you're only going to be into the city of God through that foundation. And by the way, in one place the Bible says that if there's any other teaching, what I'm telling you, it's wrong. Isn't that amazing? Paul said that. Okay. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Now this makes no sense unless you're going to speak of it as teachings. The teachings of God. Because I don't care how deep you go or wide you go, it's still one foundation. You know, it can be 12 different pores, and when it's tied together, it's still one foundation. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Here's what I wrote down here. God wants us to know that there is not a spot anywhere on the face of the earth that the teaching of Jesus has not been laid as a foundation of life. Not a place. Verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. Everybody know what a reed is? Know what a reed is? Just a plant. Long plant. They use that stem of that plant as some way to measure. Now this is not a plant because it's golden. So they're referring to some kind of measuring device. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth or the width. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So if you're going from wall to wall in any direction, up, down, or sideways, it's 12,000 furlongs. A furlong is a space of distance or distance of about 600 feet. That means 7,200,000 feet, approximately. And the reason I'm telling you approximately is that there was a man that was lost in the Spirit trying to see these things. So we must understand, and unless God gave him this figure, he was guessing. And if he gave him the figure, so be it. We don't know for sure. But what I'm telling you is for today, the place that you and I reside, walk and echo the glory of God, is a very large place. We're unlimited in size or space. Understand this. 7,200,000 feet up. 7,200,000 feet wide. 7,200,000 feet long. That was the measurements, right? I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm telling you that this is what John said he saw in the Spirit. The city of God, which is that you and I right now. Now, I don't know what he was seeing. Now, you remember, as you study Revelations, if the first thing you can't figure out is that you're not going to figure everything out, you're in trouble. What I'm telling you is this is a very big place we operate in. I want you to look at this and say that John saw, for you and I, an unlimited area to minister and live and prosper and be in health. I mean, God provided a huge place right here, right now. I know that our government keeps trying to put us in smaller, smaller confines all the time. Take heart. John saw the truth. I have no confines. I have no confines. Do you understand that? Let me tell you, if you don't understand that, you should have been at the Bible study. We discussed some of the confinements that we were in. God will bend His own law for you. We talked about that. It's very good. Did you know God will stop the sun if you need it? That's His own law that He bends, stops, changes. That's your confinements. Jesus showed us how when He got crowded that He just wasn't there. He was somewhere else. He just moved. That's your confinements. I think that's what we're trying to see in this picture, that you don't have any. Don't make any difference what direction you need to go. God can make it happen. He can change the law of gravity. He can divide water and let you walk across on dry land if He wants to. And He has to change His law for that to happen. So don't confine God with His own word either. Because He'll change it for you. I don't mean He'll say it's all right to commit adultery. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that with His speaking, He created gravity and the motion of the sun, or us in the sun's shine. He decided one day at the answer of a prayer. For instance, let's think about this. God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And when God says something, it's going to happen, right? Mm-mm. No. Because old Abe, right, was outside saying, God, could you just change that for me? And so he stopped for a little while. He just said, well, let's talk about it. If you don't think God won't listen to you, he said, let's talk about it. What's your deal, Abe? What's your deal? Well, if I could find, God said, if you can find, I won't do what I said I was going to do. Can you imagine a man's prayer stop a word of God? And then he got scared. Well, how about God down to just a few? I mean, God was willing to not do what He said He was going to do if Abraham could do what He said he could do. That's the God we serve. Don't put God in confinement, and He won't put you in that. If you'll let Him be free, He'll let you be free. Now, even God held off, and by the way, because of Abraham's prayer, He sent angels in and drugged that relative out of town. Drug him out of town. You guys, when I say pray, remember what you can do. You can stop the sun if necessary. You are unlimited. You are unlimited in your ministry. How can I say that? Because He'll listen to you when you pray. You have to be looking at somebody to get them saved? Abraham wasn't looking at Lot. He's going beyond his sight, so let's get beyond our sight. Do you have to, if they're in danger, do you have to see them or be able to talk to them on the phone to pray them out of danger? I don't think so. It can be around the world, right? So let's don't limit God. Let's don't let teachings limit us. Verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof. 144 cubits. according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Now, according to that, that's about 216 feet thick. Pretty good wall. By the way, you know what that wall is? That's the one that's protecting us. That's the wall that's protecting us. In case you think that a fox can run on it and it'll fall down. That's what they said about Nehemiah's wall. A fox touched that wall and it'll fall down. Well, this one's 216 feet thick. I'm protected. How about y'all? Revelation 21:18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. We see again that the dwelling of God is made of what is pure, clean, and innocent. It must be transparent. Let me give you a little warning about your life. Don't do anything in the back room you won't do in front, because it'll all be shown. Whether you want it to be or not. Whatever you are, just be that. Be transparent. By the way, I was at a prayer meeting at Renee's. I got to say this because I got tickled Monday. I was in the shower and I started laughing. My wife says, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "I just remembered what went on last night." I'm sitting there in Renee's house. She looks over at me and she said, she's laughing like crazy. She said, "You are the strangest man I've ever met in my life." She said that to me. I was laughing. The strangest woman I ever met said, "I'm the strangest one." Anyway, I don't know what I said that for, but it was funny at the time for me. I was just laughing. Anyway, whatever you are, be that. By the way, my wife said of that night, after that night, she said, "You weren't very pastorly that night." I said, "Yes, I was. I did exactly what God told me to do. You just need to change the way you look." Now listen, let me say it again. Be whatever you are. And that may change. Amen. When God says you are, then that's what you are. You're not a chameleon. You don't change with your surroundings. You make the surroundings change according to what God's put on your heart. But you may have to change for that. You may have to be the one that weeps one moment. Then you may have to be the one that yells one moment. Do whatever God tells you to do at the moment. So that you can be the pure gold. You can be that jasper. Praise the Lord. See, that excites me. My wife accuses me of being the one that lives on the edge all the time. She keeps saying, she said that one, I just can't get rid of that. You just live on the edge. No, no, no. God keeps me right there. It's not where I want to be. I guess some people want to be right there, but I don't want to be there. You know how precarious that is? You got to learn to trust God. It's a high wire act, you know? Because Tanya could have jumped up and belted me. By the way, the word pure means clean. It means purified by fire. I'm going to give you the definitions here. It means blameless and innocent. How many of you in this room are blameless and innocent? Absolutely. By the work that Jesus did. You got to remind yourself and you got to remind others you are blameless and innocent. That's the only way you can be part of this city. So you've got to be that. God wouldn't tell you to do something you couldn't do. Verse 20. All right, let's see. And the foundations of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stone. That's 19. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, that one. The fourth, an emerald. By the way, you start looking these up, and all they are, they're pure, clear stones. They just have different colors. That's all it means. All of them are bright and shiny. They sparkle. They're full of light. And yet what they are is they're all different colors. Isn't that amazing that God would say the foundation of His Word and His city is based on different colors? All right. The fifth, he goes on. In verse 20, the fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, that one. The 11th, that one too. Well, you see what they are. And we're still going through all different colors. The idea is we can't judge each other's color, hair color, voice, eye color, mood, temperament, calling. The church judges a lot of people by that calling. They'll kick out most of the callings and do with what, you know, stay with what they can handle. We can't judge people by that. I'm going to tell you, if you haven't ever been helped by somebody you don't like, you need the blessing. You really need the blessing. God wants to bless you in every form. That's why that's why I said, I hope that we get music in here that just insults everybody so we can get over it. So we can just free close our eyes. Well, I don't know that song, Jeff. Who said you needed to know it? What if God wanted to hear it? Well, come on now. Did you think that or not? You never thought I don't know that song? Well, I'm the only one then. Hey, listen, I deal with junk just like probably more than most. Because I want to analyze everything. I'm just telling you, God wants to see us do things sometimes. I don't care if anybody else wants to see it. God wants to see it. And He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. I mean, I guarantee you, I want God to hear this. I am willing to stop whatever I'm doing and put up with anything in the world as long as it pleases God. Listen, don't answer me quickly. Are you willing for that? Because this is a serious thing I'm saying. Are you willing to do that? Well, hang on. We'll see what happens. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate, that means every one gate or every gate, was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. By the way, when it says the word pearl, here's what it means. A proverb that is a word of great value. Now think about this for today, for now, for you and I. Do you understand that you are a gate to keep evil out and a gate to let people in? By your word, by your proverb, by the word that God speaks to you. You understand what I'm saying here? A proverb, that is a word of great value. This is talking about gates on the wall. Do you want to be in a city where nobody else could come in? Do you want to be in a city where anybody can come in? See, no to either one of those. God knows who He wants in. He wants everybody. So what does He do? He gives a proverb, a word of great value, and He lets them decide whether they come in or not with the proverb, the pearl of great price. That's what He does. Instant, in season and out of season. What's that mean? No preparation, no study, no sermon prep. You just say, I'm going, God. And He gives you the pearl, the wisdom, the word that's in due season to invite somebody in, touch their heart. And that's how the city grows. That's how others get to enjoy the presence in this city, the living in the city. I like that one. I've never seen that one before. The gates were 12 pearls. The teachings of God, the Word of God. That's the gates of the city, the Word of God. The difference is, we're the gates, carrying His Word. How many of you really think that it's your personality that draws people to God? So it must be something beyond us, right? Well, praise God for that. Because I'd have never been able to do it at all. I'm just telling you that you carry pearls in you. It's called the words of God. Well, does that mean I have to quote King James? Oh, good point. It's talking about using you, not somebody's language and not somebody's translation. God wants to use you as a gate to invite others. With your words, am I qualified? Well, sure you are. They're your words. I mean, I'm not qualified to give your words. Only you are. Well, they come out different. Praise God. All those different colors, remember? All those different varieties that He wants to use? Yeah. Thank God for that, or I'd have never made the cut. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Ah. Boy, howdy. Our habitation, our place of worship, our sanctuary is our God. It is not built with hands. Amen. Right? So in this city that we reside, a building's not going to cut it, is it? It's a nice place. It's a nice place for us to get together, but that's not where God is. Because the Bible said, where any two or three are gathered in my name, you got a temple. It's me. I'm showing up. I'm there. Now, I like the numbers, two or three. Because if I'm in Christ Jesus, there's two. And the Holy Spirit's always with me, that's three. So God's always there. He never leaves, never forsakes. Praise God. By the way, from this point forward, when the word street is mentioned, it will mean open square or a large area. That'll be in chapter 22. That'll be while we go. Every time you hear the word street, it is not, you know, sixth out here. It means a big, wide, open area. I saw no temple. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now that means to you and me that we haven't got one inkling of an excuse when we feel dark, when we feel gloomy, down, when we feel a little fear because of the darkness, because of the things that I can't see. We have no excuse at all. This says that where God is, there's no need of fear or worry because there's no need of sun. Everything is shown. Now, do you understand, if you know the Word of God, that you know everything? Can I stroke your ego just a little bit? Do you understand, if you know the Word of God, you have all knowledge and all wisdom? Because the Bible says that you operate by faith, not by sight. My word. Not by feeling or circumstance. It doesn't make any difference what I'm standing against or facing. The light drives out all darkness. By the way, you know what darkness is? Anything that tries to take away the light. That's what darkness is. What's light? The knowledge of God. I know that my steps are ordered and they're sure. Because we studied the other night in Bible study that it's in Proverbs that if I ask for wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment, my steps are sure and they're directed and guarded so that I won't fall. Man, if I can't fall, then I can stand on the edge. Right? And I can face anything. Because no weapon that's formed against me will prosper. See the light that's coming in to a dark, dark soul? No weapon formed against me can prosper. And when I go to sleep, I'm guarded and my sleep will be sweet. Why? There's no fear. Well, what if I'm doing the wrong thing? Don't worry about it. Ask God. The light will come in and show you if you're doing the right thing or not. Jesus said, I'm so sure of this, I bring you peace. And I leave you peace. You can have it. Now what right have you got to worry? By the way, worry is darkness. And where God is, there's no darkness. Fear is darkness. And where God is, there's no fear. There's no darkness. Financial problems, that's darkness. Let God come in and remove them. Drive them out. Watch what He leaves. How about this division? I remember somebody used that word recently. And I said, well, stop being divided. Stop making that division. You got division in your home, stop making it. It's your fault. Because if God was coming in with you, well, it's got to go. Division is darkness. It's got to go. Right? Well, how about that strife at work? Well, get rid of it. Quit striving. You're the one striving. Because if you weren't striving, there'd be peace there. That's all you could see. Do you understand that? Isn't that amazing? That's God's formula. Where He is, there's no darkness. I know we don't like this because that's putting the blame on us. No. That's recognizing what I'm doing and throwing it back on God. That's not taking the blame because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. None. So all I got to do is say, I don't want to be there, God. I don't want to have any part of this, God. Then he says, well, quit having part of it. Stop it. But I'm worried about this. Well, stop it. Well, you know how hard it is to stop it? Oh, you're talking to God now. You're telling him something's hard. You got gall. He said, nothing's too hard for me. Isn't that what he said? I don't know if we're still going to get finished with this chapter. Nope. Now listen. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, how many of you believe that Mr. Clinton and all of those lizards up there in Washington, how many of you think they have control over you? They think that they're deceived. We're to have compassion for them because they think they're right. They're wrong and they think they're right. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Are you in a nation? Come on, are you in a nation? Are you saved? Wow. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. You wonder why the nation of the United States has been blessed? Because we have crazy things, like on our money, it says, in God we trust. We got that on there. And we're not letting them take it off.
Amen.
So they get to walk in the light. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Do you know how much our nation has been honored by other kings? Because we still say, in God we trust. You want to see the honor go away? Let them take away that. See what happens. How will that affect us? Not at all, because I'm still walking in the light. One day, let me tell you something. As in Nehemiah, you've heard me say this, please don't make light of it ever under any conditions. We're going to take this city. That's what God's told us we're going to do. Don't make light of it or you won't get to enjoy it. And when that happens, what happened with Nehemiah is that the rulers brought in money. They brought in weapons. They brought in support. They did it. They paid for the city being taken and rebuilt. Now, any of you think that's a little bit too wild for God? Come on, if that's the case, well, you need to get on your knees. Because I'm telling you, when God gets to doing... What did I just get to telling you this morning? I said they lowered $100,000 rent so they could give it to us for $1,500 a month. Does that sound like somebody's bringing wealth in? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see it. The hand of God, you're going to see it. And just make sure that you recognize the hand of God, not coincidence. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. There's no darkness where we are at. How do I know that? Because in Titus it says, to the pure all things are pure. That means there's no darkness there to those that are pure. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. It's up to us to bring the glory and the honor of the nations to the city of God. How? We be honorable for a change. We quit trying to make fortunes off of the Word of God. If God gives me a book to write, I don't sell it to you. If He gives me an ability, I don't sell it to you. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination or a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I read that to you the way it's actually written. I left out some words on purpose. In the city of God, there are no liars and no other gods. This is what this is saying. There are no liars. You know why it's so rough on liars? Because I'm telling you, when you lie, you make yourself God. That's what you do. I don't care what kind of lie it is. When you lie, you put yourself above the truth. The truth is God. You put yourself above the truth. What you are saying is, I can't trust God to carry me through this situation, so I have to lie my way through it. I have to work my way through it. That's a lie. There will be none of that in this city. Only those that are pure or have the name or character of Jesus Christ. That's who's going to be there. And I got a reference back to verse 21, verse 8. It says, look there, Stan, so I will. Okay, that's where it says those that won't partake in that city. They won't. They'll be in the lake of fire. Nothing impure will ever enter into it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that good? That's not for then. That's for now. I'm going to be bold with you. I believe that God stuck my nose in Revelation. And I have to keep saying over and over to me, and you get to listen. That's not then. That's now. That's not then. That's now. That's not for you. That's for me. So that I make sure that I don't put my faith off. That I don't try to strive for the things that I know are going to happen, like the nations bringing money and honor into the city. Well, first the city has to be taken. By the way, anybody, isn't it amazing? What if I would have brought a 33,000 square foot building to you and said, I want you to go tell all your friends we're going to move into that building? Would you have done it? Would you have told your friends? I didn't say, would you say, I'll believe with you. That isn't what I asked you. No. You're not going to get off that line. Would you have told your friends that's where we were going? I have to go out and claim the things. Let me say it another way. I want to be bold enough that when God says, I'm going to give you that 33,000 square foot building, at that moment I'll be able to go tell others, we got it, don't worry about it, stand back and watch. And I don't care how bold you think I am. Sometimes I'm not that bold. But I want to be. Now I'm telling you something. We're going to take the city. You stand back and watch. You stand back and watch. And God's going to do mighty things in the process. And it's going to be kind of like that new roller coaster the ride they got at Elitch's. You just strap in and hang on. And don't be afraid if you're upside down. Don't be afraid if you're hanging way out in space. See, God's got you. And He may be moving so fast that you're just swinging all over everywhere. But He's got you. He's got you. Even upside down. Don't worry about it. You're fixing to get right side up again. You'll be in a better position when He's through. Now, I'm not trying to make you afraid. I'm trying to tell you about an exciting ride we're going to go on. A very exciting ride. The difference is it's not made by man and it can't fail. It wasn't welded together or bolted together and all those things could fail. Nothing like that. It wasn't wheels that are made by man. It's a ride that cannot fail. Not one time ever. If you're willing to get in the seat and go, you know how many people are not willing? Look around. Look around. There's a lot of seats empty. God's got to do this thing and He's going to fill His seats. If you don't hang on to your seat, you'll put somebody else there. Now listen, I'm not telling you anything you haven't told me. I'm just telling you. He tells me the same way, Stan. I'm fixing to take you on a ride, and you better keep that seat or I'll put somebody else there. I don't want to miss the ride, do y'all? I'm telling you. Is it going to be all comfortable? No. Not at all. There's a lot of G-forces we're going to go through. Because you can read Revelation and understand that time is short. You can understand by looking at the world, the earthquakes and all the things that are going on, time is short. We don't have generations, and I don't care who said we do. Time is short. We don't have 1,000 years to do this. Now listen, if I get old and gray and die before He does it, He's going to do it quick. Anyway, I don't care. But I may just have to start believing like Abraham did. That ain't going to happen. I'm going to see my seed. By the way, I want to see it. If He can stop the sun, He can stop the sun. He can just stop the clock. He said, Stan, I don't want you to get any older for a while. Just don't do that. Yes, sir. I feel like that I have placed God in a box, and I'm trying to get Him out of it. That's my job, is to get Him out of the box that I put Him in. He can only do it certain ways because He's God. Now, isn't that stupid? To say He can only do it certain ways because He's God. That's foolish. I'm going to quit saying that. He can do it any way He wants to. How many of you believe that you could show up at this place next week and there would be 1,000 people? Could that happen? All He has to do is say so. How about 10,000? I don't know what we're going to do if He does that. But He'll give us a clue at the time. That's right. Maybe that's why the weather's getting so good. We've got to get outside. Who's going to take? I'm going to ask you something. Ask yourself all week long. If it happens, who's going to take credit? Who in this room is going to take credit? That's who you're going to give credit to. There's only two things you can do. You can take credit or give credit. Jeff, if God starts doing something mighty in your life with the music, are you going to take credit? You going to strut?
Can't do it.
You can too.
I don't think so.
You won't get by with it, but you can do it. Listen, I'm trying to be serious about this. The biggest, if I have a fear in deep down here, if I have one fear, and I'll confess this to you, is that if He does what I think He's going to do, how will I react? Will I be like what I've seen others? Please, you will be my best friend if you never let that happen. And I am not kidding you. We don't have room for ego. We got plenty of room for people that know that their only worth is in Christ Jesus. We have no room for people that think they do things. Well, what if I don't show up? So, you know, it's pretty easy to stand up here and say, what if I don't show up? The thing will fall apart. Give me a break. It's not your thing. You can't do what you want to do. Praise the Lord. Awful close. Little perversion. Praise the Lord. Do you want to see what God can do? Because I'm going to tell you, in the last few weeks, I've been crying out that I want to see the hand of God move. I want to see it so that I know and you know and everybody around me knows that we have nothing to do with it. I want to see that. It's time to see that. Either God's God or He's not.